ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानजनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितजना तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् वन्द्यं श्रीगुरुन् श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सगजातं सहगना रघुनाथन्वितं संसजीवं साद्वैतं सर्वदूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादं सहगनो ललिता श्रीविशकन्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपीश गोपिकाकान्त राधकन्त नमस्तुते तप्तकञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरे केशवानसुतिदेवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय वञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासन्धिभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। Reading from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit. Beginning the temple of Krishna Balaram. Mayapur, March 1974. While traveling from Calcutta to Mayapur, Prabhupada stopped as usual at the pleasant, secluded mango grove and, sitting on the straw mat, took a breakfast of fresh fruits. A group of his disciples and his sister, Baba Tarini, were also present. And Prabhupada saw that everyone received prasadam. He then returned to his car, and the caravan continued to Mayapur. As Prabhupada's car approached the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, he was met by a roadblock of ISKCON devotees waiting at the spot known as Srivas Angan, about 2 miles from the ISKCON property. 400 devotees from America, England, Europe, South America, Australia, India, and other parts of the world sang Hare Krishna, following Prabhupada as he rode slowly towards the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. Prabhupada smiled. Looking out from the back seat of the car, he recognized many faithful disciples, all hankering for his merciful glance of recognition. The car, surrounded tightly by devotees, inched its way through the gate and up the long drive to the temple. Along the roadside and around the temple buildings, colorful merry-go-rounds and tugger-wear abloom, enhancing Srila Prabhupada's joyous reception. The temple room was completed, its sparkling marble floor, freshly painted walls, and crystal chandeliers, all having been readied just a few days before. After offering obeisances before the resplendent golden forms of Radha Madhava on the altar, Prabhupada turned and walked the long temple hall to sit on his Vyasasan and address his first truly international gathering of disciples. He welcomed them to Mayapur, acknowledging that on this day, Bhaktivinoda Thakura's prediction had come true. The devotees shouted triumphantly, "Jai, Jai, Srila Prabhupada!" Bhaktivinoda Thakura had written, "Oh, for that day when the fortunate English, French, Russian, German, and American people will take up banners, mridangas, and kartals, and raise kirtan through their streets and towns. When will that day come?" Bhaktivinoda Thakura's prophecy had come to pass. He had also predicted, "Soon a great saint will come and establish Lord Chaitanya's movement throughout the world." That great personality empowers to create devotees all of all races and backgrounds and to rally them together in Mayapur, thousands of miles from their homes, was Srila Prabhupada. And although he saw himself as instrument of the acharyas, his disciples saw him as the personification of Lord Chaitanya's and Lord Nityananda's mercy, as stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yadvati amara guru chaitanya dasa tatati janiye amirtanhara prakasa.
Although I know that my spiritual master is a servitor of Sri Chaitanya, I know him also as a plenary manifestation of the Lord. Leaving the temple room, Prabhupada went upstairs and retired to his room, satisfied that the building was now fulfilling its purpose by giving shelter to hundreds of his spiritual children. He began greeting leading disciples from various parts of the world. Hearing the encouraging news of book distribution and dealing with problems, he asked that everyone take advantage of the holy dharma by maintaining kirtan in the temple room around the clock, stopping only for scheduled classes in Srimad Bhagavatam. The devotees were very happy to be together in the dharma. Those with experience of India, like Jayapataka Swami and Achyutananda Swami, led groups of devotees on parikrama pilgrimage to local holy places. This visit to Mayapur will constitute the first half of the devotees' Indian pilgrimage. After 10 days, they were scheduled to go to Vrindavan. Almost all of the devotees assembled in Mayapur preached in areas of the world where the mode of ignorance and passion predominated. Daily, they had to mix with materialistic people, and it was inevitable that they would become worn down. This pilgrimage, therefore, was a chance for purification. Although they were not advanced in birth or in knowledge of the Sanskrit Vedas, Prabhupada had accepted them, and that was their certification as devotees. They were bona fide candidates for understanding the meaning of the Dharma. They will become refreshed by bathing in the Ganges in Mayapur and the Jamuna in Vrindavan. And they will return to their respective centers throughout the world, purified and renewed for more active preaching. One song by Narottam Das Thakur described the pilgrim's eligibility to realize the Dharma. Those whose intelligence have come to understand that the eternal associates of Vrindavan Dham are non-different from those in Navadvip can attain the service of the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. Such fortunate persons perceive the holy Dham as an object of service, because their transcendental eyes have been opened by the mercy of the eternal perfect associate of Navadvip Dham. Therefore, those who are enthusiastic realize the touchstone of the holy Dham of Navadvip through their transcendental eyes. Thereafter, they reside in the holy Dham of Navadvip, which they know to be non-different from Vrindavan, and serve in their eternally perfected spiritual bodies. The devotee's main reason for coming to Mayapur, however, was associated with Srila Prabhupada. He was always traveling, and his disciples could only expect to see him briefly from time to time as he passed through their area. To see him in Mayapur and Vrindavan, where they could be with him daily on walks and in the temple, was the most ecstatic part of the festival. Prabhupada's happiness to be in Mayapur was increased many times by the large gathering of his international family. He wanted this. Mayapur was for the devotees. Prabhupada even thought that, if possible, all the devotees should stay here permanently and simply go on chanting. Although he admitted that it was not practical in terms of world preaching, he derived great satisfaction from sitting in his room above the temple hall and hearing the constant rousing kirtans. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, he remarked, there is nothing of value in all the 14 worlds except the chanting of the holy names. At Prabhupada's request, his governing body commission members had gathered in Mayapur. Their purpose was to discuss ISKCON's preaching activities around the world, and then to pass resolutions to direct that preaching. This was the first time they had met as a body in Prabhupada's presence, and he instructed them how to conduct their meeting. They should not simply talk, he said. Rather, someone should present a proposal, which should then be discussed and voted on. All resolutions should be listed in their minutes. Chalk out your plans for the year, Papa said. And then whatever you decide, Do that, change it. Do not change it, but carry it out. The next year you can meet and discuss again. He was not in favor of prolonged meetings, but he was satisfied to see his GBC secretaries seriously confronting all items on the agenda for the sake of a growing Christian consciousness movement. One of the main features of the Mayapur Festival was the arrival of advanced copies of the recently published volume of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The volume contains chapters 7 through 11 of the Adi Lila and included color illustrations by Prabhupada's disciples. Chapter 9 especially glorified the Sankirtan movement begun by Lord Chaitanya, and verse after verse ecstatically confirmed the authenticity of Srila Prabhupada's movement. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes Navadvip Dham as a place where Lord Chaitanya had planted the seed of the Krishna consciousness tree. In one verse he states, "Thus the branches of the Chaitanya tree formed a cluster of society with great branches covering all the universe." And so Prabhupada had written a conclusive one-sentence purport to this verse. Our International Society for Krishna Consciousness is one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita translation and commentary was the fruit of the Chaitanya tree. It was fully authoritative and parampara, but never merely academic or technical. Its teachings stressed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire to widely distribute devotional service should be the desire of everyone. It left no doubt about what Prabhupada expected from the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. The only purpose of the preachers of the Sankirtan movement must be to go on preaching without restriction. That is the way in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the Sankirtan movement to the world. That is the way in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the Sankirtan movement to the world. This volume also contained one of the most important verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita: Bharata Bhumitu Haile Manushya Janma Ya Janma Sartaka Kari Karapara Upakar. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all people. In his purport to this verse, Prabhupada explained the special piety of the Indians, who were always ready to take part in a Sankirtan festival. Unfortunately, the present leaders of India were leading the people away from God, away from distinguishing pious and sinful acts, and away from belief in the next life. The Indians had the special duty of educating the world in Vedic principles. A few days ago in Kanpur, the devotees requested that we should speak on this verse. So we are remembering in other places Prabhupada has spoken about this. and also in the lectures. One of the lectures in the fifth canto, Sri Prabhupada quoted this verse. And then he said, Para Upakar, we Indians, our duty is to do good to people. Prabhupada said like that. We Indians, our duty is to do good, not to do bad. What is the good Indians have to do for the world? These days, Indians are all over the world. But they are not all over the world for doing good for people. They are all over the world as engineers to make money. This is not the duty of Indians. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, because the Indians have failed in their duties in giving Krishna consciousness to the whole world is in problem. Indians are the mother and the father of the world. The duty of the mother and the father is to take care of the children. And so the Bodhisattva Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada said, particularly to Indians, to the whole world, and particularly to Indians, we are not given this human body to become artisans. We have been given this human form of life to preach Krishna consciousness, to distribute Krishna consciousness. Look at the mind of our acharyas. Bhakti Vinod Thakura, his meditation and his prediction is to bring the whole world to India. And Prabhupada said here, if possible, let the whole world live in India, particularly to the devotees. They should live in India, in Mayapur, and chant, dance. But for preaching, we have to go out. The duty of the Indians is not to travel the whole world as engineers or business. The world is in problem because Indians are committing violence. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, 8 to 12. Krishna has enumerated 20 items of religion. One of them is ahimsa. In the purport, Prabhupada mentioned, generally ahimsa means not to do harm to other people, but actually that is not ahimsa. In this material world, everyone is suffering for want of Krishna consciousness, not because of money, for want of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, if we are not distributing Krishna consciousness, we are committing violence. So, Indians have the responsibility to deliver the whole world by giving Krishna consciousness. We should not forget this. It is not late. It is not late. So, Prabhupada has already opened so many temples all over the world. You can still go out. Come to our place. Come to our place. So Prabhupada says you come to Nigeria. Don't sit here in India. Don't sit here. Come to Nigeria. And see how it's very easy to preach Krishna consciousness. If you want to attract the mercy of Krishna very easily, don't preach in India. If you want to make advancement in a very slow space, then you preach in India. If you want to make fast advancement in Krishna consciousness, come to Nigeria. Come there. Want to come? If you come there, then you understand what is Krishna consciousness. Not here. Here you don't understand it. You come outside. It is your responsibility, so you should do it. Now you are distributing many books. Come to Nigeria and see how many books you will distribute in a day. Then you can understand that you are beginning your Krishna consciousness. It's the beginning of your Krishna consciousness. So come outside and preach. So the Prabhupada did. He left Goloka to a place he described as horrible. Prabhupada described America as horrible, horrible place. Why did you bring me to this horrible place? So if he had gone to West Africa, what would he say? If America is horrible, what would he say about other places? But he planted Krishna consciousness and it has spread all over the world. That is the duty of Indians. So one person has done that and has given us the assignment to continue. To continue this, the Prabhupada has established GBC. That every year they should come together and discuss how to expand Krishna consciousness. So that is happening every year. GBC members come to Mayapur with a lot of resolutions and discussions. That desire of Srila Prabhupada is going on. But we want more Indians to come outside of India and preach Krishna consciousness. Don't go as businessmen or whatever. So go out as a devotee. If all Indians have taken to this path as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, proper route, India will have given a unique gift to the world, and thus India will have been glorified. Moreover, it was not only the duty of the Indians, but the duty of everyone to help the Krishna consciousness movement. One should know definitely that the best welfare activity for all human society is awakening man's God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada stayed with his disciples at Mayapur for a full week, lecturing daily and meeting with smaller groups of many hours. On the day of Guru Purnima, he went down to the Ganges and took the sacred water on his head, while his men dove off the high bank and swam. The next day he left for Vrindavan, where he would again meet his disciples and introduce them to the Dham. Although many of the Western devotees inexperienced in living and travel in India, we are afflicted with indigestion, dysentery, and even, in some cases, culture shock and homesickness. They nevertheless traveled a somewhat degraded group from Mayapur to Calcutta to Delhi, and finally to Vrindavan. Since the Vrindavan temple and guest house was still mostly a construction site, the devotees had to stay at the nearby Pogal ashram, while Prabhupada again took up residence in his newly constructed rooms near the site of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. The devotees would see him regularly on morning walks and during the morning Bhagavatam class. And he would also come in the evening sometimes to speak under an outdoor pavilion at Pogal ashram. Noticing that not many devotees attended his first evening meeting in his room, Prabhupada inquired and learned that many of them were out visiting Vrindavan's famous old temples and other pilgrimage sites, while others were shopping in the bazaar, and still others were sleeping. "Bring them all back," Prabhupada said, annoyed. "Coming to pilgrimage means to come where the shadows are. I am here, so why is everyone going elsewhere?" On hearing this, so many devotees came to Prabhupada's room that they could not all fit in. Prabhupada began talking about tapasya, austerity. "The tapasvis in Vrindavan go naked," he said, "even in the cold. They are determined not to take birth again for material life." He described how the living entity before birth remains clamped within the womb, a condition much like being tied by the hands and feet and thrown in the ocean. Worms within the mother's body bite the skin of the embryo, and the living entity suffers. "Because Maya deludes us into thinking we are happy," Prabhupada explained, "we have to again enter the womb of the mother. And although in one lifetime we may be a wealthy human being, in the next life we may be a bug, or hog, or dog. So this life is for tapasya," Prabhupada said. "But we cannot execute severe penances in this age. So our penance is to try to perform four crazy persons. So our penance is to try to reform four crazy persons. One should take voluntary pains for Krishna. Krishna comes to save the fallen souls. So if you help a little, he will be pleased. Krishna comes himself, and he sends his devotee, and he leaves books. And still, we are mad for sense enjoyment. Our penance, therefore, is to try to reform the fallen souls." Prabhupada's preaching uplifted his disciples, whose duty was to preach to the citizens of many lands. They had come at Prabhupada's bidding to visit Mayapur and Vrindavan, but their real work was to save the fallen souls of their native countries, and Prabhupada's preaching filled them with determination. Later, one of the devotees told the Prabhupada that dealing with the devotees was sometimes more difficult than dealing with the materialist. And he mentioned a well-known problem case, a devotee named Makana Chora. "That is your penance," Prabhupada said. "Your penance is to work with Makan Chora. We should take anxiety. For a sane man, to work with a crazy man is not pleasurable. But the service to Krishna is pleasurable." Prabhupada described how he had left his peaceful life in Vrindavan to take on so much burden and anxiety for Krishna, just as he had taken a risk by going to America in old age. So his disciples should accept whatever difficulties were required in preaching Krishna consciousness. The work is not pleasurable, Prabhupada said, but making so many devotees is pleasurable. Although the devotees had been visiting the various temples of Vrindavan, eager to imbibe the Vrindavan spirit, the real nectar came when Prabhupada, sitting in his room, spoke about Vrindavan. Vrindavan is for Paramahamsas, he said. You cannot see Vrindavan with desire or material spirit. The test is how much you have conquered over eating, sleeping, and mating. Don't think you can just come to Vrindavan and become a good son. One who comes to Vrindavan with a material spirit, he will take birth as a dog or a monkey in Vrindavan. That is his punishment. But the dogs here are also Vaishnavas. People come to Vrindavan to give up all material anxieties and family life. So one should not be afraid. He should never mind what is going to happen. There are many devotees in Vrindavan who are not disturbed by heat or cold. But another risk is, in Vrindavan is to meet those who talk of the gopis, but are not free from smoking bidis. They are sahajas. We have to see who is a devotee by his personal behavior. If one is seeking money and bidis and women and talking of the gopis, then what is his position? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will never talk of the gopis publicly. The real Vrindavan is not to eat prasadam and sleep, but to follow the advice of Vrindavan Chandra, Krishna, and broadcast his message. That is his message. That is Vrindavan. Vrindavan Dham is worshipable. Don't commit an offense here. Take it as Chintamani Dham, Krishna. Narottam Das Thakura says, to see Vrindavan is not possible with Vishaya. So we should take the shelter of Gauranitai, become cleansed of eating, sleeping, and mating. Then you will see Vrindavan Dham. Don't commit offenses here. There is a special influence in Vrindavan. Prabhupada said that Vrindavan's spiritual quality was such that the devotional service performed here had 100 times the effect of service performed elsewhere. But an offense in Vrindavan also had 100 times the effect. Ordinary persons, therefore, we are advised to visit a holy place like Vrindavan for no more than 3 days. Otherwise, they will become slack and return to their sinful activities. Better to come, Prabhupada said, become purified and leave on the 4th day. And the worst offense to Vrindavan is to commit illicit sex here. So do not come and play hide and seek with Krishna. He sees with his eyes the sun, and he is also in your heart. Krishna knows everything. Those who want to be devotees have to be sincere. They shouldn't play tricks, because Krishna knows everything. Be sincere with Krishna and his representative. Preach the gospel of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Become a spiritual master. After his evening lecture, Prabhupada mentioned how some of the sahajiyas had worked out during his lecture. They are so advanced, he said, that they want to hear only of the embracing and kissing of Radharani and Krishna. They take my talks as ordinary. Prabhupada explained that his process of lecturing was to speak on only one verse per lecture, but that speaking was the same as Krishna speaking. He said that his own Guru Maharaj had lectured for 3 months on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. For that he had gained great respect. Prabhupada named one devotee that one of his disciples had left the company of the ISKCON devotees to live among the Babajis at Radhakund. Prabhupada became angry and sent for the boy to come immediately. When the boy arrived, Prabhupada went out to see him, dressed in only a dhoti. Prabhupada spoke sternly to his disciple, saying that the monkeys of Vrindavan also live simply but are interested only in eating and sex. "Don't become a monkey," Papa said, trembling as he spoke. "Why don't you come and live with me?" The boy replied, "The Babajis have given me some facility to chant." "You come with me," Papa exclaimed. "I will give you facility, but don't become a monkey." The boy surrendered before Prabhupada's compassionate concern. Prabhupada heard from his disciples living in Vrindavan that some of the local Goswamis had a complaint about him. They had read an article published in Back to Godhead and considered it insulting. The article written by Prabhupada's disciple Hayagriva contained a statement that Goswamis in Vrindavan who misbehaved will become hogs and monkeys in Vrindavan in their next life. Prabhupada replied that the statement was accurate. The article, he said, had not specifically referred to the present Goswamis, but to any Goswami who lives sinfully in Vrindavan. This was not merely an opinion, but was the authoritative conclusion of the original Goswamis of Vrindavan. Shri Prabhupada ki.